Tre'Quan Smith in motion, right to left, fakes the handoff, dropping back under pressure, rolling out to his right, gets it away. Mike Thomas with the catch inside the 10 to the 9-yard line, 6 yards on the reception, and Mike Thomas breaks the single-season receiving record, passing Joe Horn. First all-time in Saints history.
First all-time in Saints history. Now get your little self out of the game, young man. Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will remember me. Remember me for centuries. Just one mistake is all it will take. We'll go down in history. Remember me for centuries.
What's good, Dub Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dub Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and the drunk share rating is a 2.
I had a glass of wine with dinner and had some Moscow mules while I was waiting for Jason to get home so that we could record tonight. And it's a good time to have a drink to celebrate the postseason because the regular season's over. And Saints fans can actually sit back and enjoy week one of the playoffs with no stress. We will spend a little bit of time recapping some lessons learned from the final game against the Panthers. We'll review your questions and comments from looking in tweets, grams, and looking in books. And then we'll spend a little extra time this week on the playoff picture since there's no Saints preview. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 0. I just got back, but I got a glass of wine since it's Wine Down Wednesday.
Is it Wind Down Tuesday?
Or Wednesday or Thursday. I mean, it really works for any day.
Wind down every day.
Right.
Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Feeling good, Jeff. Normally I'm sad when the NFL season ends, but this year we have a lot to be excited about.
That's right.
And the new year is coming, you know. We have a new year.
It's coming. I thought it was here.
You know, I just want to say, Jeff, that you're a very good guy. I like doing the show with you. You're not a scumbag, cocksucker, piece of shit, selfish motherfucker. You're a good guy.
I feel like there's a catch.
Nah. Hello, Jason. How are you doing?
I've been better.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to get into why you've been better, or you want to just go on with the show?
I mean, I guess, you know, we have to put Wrigley down today.
That's 2 dogs in the last...
Jesus.
Yeah, last 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Gone.
But
so 14 and a half years.
You know, it's a long life, and we'll have a toast to Wrigley. At least Wrigley got to see the Cubs win the World Series.
That's correct.
Her namesake.
And the Saints win the Super Bowl.
That's right. See? There you go. All right, so let's do a quick game recap.
Yeah, you actually went to the game.
So me and my kids, we went to the Tampa game, and that we lost that. And then my kids actually went to the Dallas game with their mom. They lost that one. And then I went to the Panthers game. So the only 3 games that we've been to are also the only 3 games the Saints lost. Rest assured, Saints fans, I am not, and nor will my children, attend any playoff games nor the Super Bowl.
Good thing, otherwise I'd have to fucking crack your legs so that you couldn't.
That's true. All right. So I will say, for me, this game against the Panthers showed the importance of having something to care about. And I don't mean that as a negative thing about this particular game, but what I'm saying is that you can see a big difference. And not even the offense, because the starters were missing, but the defense just allowed a third string and fourth string quarterback to own them.
Yeah. And there was a lot of defensive starters.
And they played for a good while, too.
Yeah.
And I don't have any concerns going into the playoffs, because I think it really does come down to they had nothing to care about, and they probably played vanilla, and they probably didn't want to get hurt, so they didn't commit. But it shows how drastically different being motivated can be in the NFL.
Absolutely. I mean, if you listen to Peyton's press conference after the game and on Monday, he was upset. Now, does this fall into the category? We all remember 2009. We all read his book. That you need a crisis. Remember that, you know.
Yeah.
2009, those last three games, we lost. That was the, you know, he said, look, that was the crisis we used.
I don't think so, because, again, you didn't have a lot of starters, and you didn't care. And Sean Payton can act as sad and upset as he wants to be, but I don't think he cared as much either.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I think he won. Okay, yeah, we pulled the starters. I mean, you pulled Breeze, Kamara, you know, only person on the line who was a starter was Unger. So, you know, right. So, I mean, obviously we weren't trying to win it. Because if you're trying to win it, those guys are playing. But from listening to him, he was upset with their effort.
And I think this is kind of like a best-case scenario for him. It's like you actually, you know, get a motivational thing to use for them, you know, to kind of keep their edge going in the playoffs. I mean, I know he's going to act pissed, but in reality, he's probably pleased that now he's got this to turn back to and they've got this to help focus.
Yes, maybe.
You don't believe that, Jeff.
I think I'm stuck because you use the word crisis, and I think that's too strong a word, but I think there is something that, yes, this he can use this to teach them the value of caring and motivation, but I don't think that's anything they don't already know. But I also
who is
think
he? He's going to teach them the value of caring?
Well, yeah, he's going to use
it. Who is he, Barney?
He's going to show them the Care Bears movie.
No, I love you. You love me.
That's Barney.
I know. That's what I said, Barney. You were speaking over me.
No, I think, I don't know. I think you can't expect the defense to care
if you don't care. Yep, 100%.
You, as the leader, through your action. I mean, I just finished watching the Gordon Ramsay, the new season of 24 Hours to Hell and Back. And the whole thing was the owner of the restaurant was never there. So no one at the employees of the restaurant cared. If your owner, in this case, if your coach, doesn't care enough to pull the starters, there's a clear fucking message here. And I can't imagine that the whole thing, this whole week leading into this game, was, guys, don't do anything stupid. Don't try so hard to get hurt for the playoffs. This game means nothing. That was the message. So if he's going to be upset to the media, I think he's more playing to the media, where once he gets behind the locker room, he's like, ha-ha, ah, they bought it, guys. They think we're all upset about this.
Well, no, I mean, I don't – that's a little far, in my opinion. I don't think
– Classic.
He's I don't think he's happy, you know, and I don't think it's a rude – I don't want to – let's put it this way. I don't think he wants his team to think he's happy. I don't think he's trying to fool the media.
But he is happy. I mean, he's happy nobody got hurt.
Right. Seriously. We're all happy. We're all happy no one got hurt.
Yeah. Although it was a little concerning because it seemed like
the first two drives.
Everybody.
Somebody lipped off.
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
I told Jason at some point, I was like, no, this they're not really hurt. This is just how they're exiting the season. It's like, hey, he lives, he gets his individual walk off. Like, everybody, it's Alex Okafor. Yay! And now it's whoever.
But they weren't, you know, they were fine. No long term injury. But yeah, the game, you know, it just felt different in every way. The crowd wasn't into it, the team wasn't into it.
It felt like a Cleveland game.
Right. I mean, it was...
it was a weird... in the dome, it was just a weird...
like to be a Falcons fan.
Yeah, just a weird feeling. Like, you could just tell. Like, it didn't have... We just didn't have it, you know, crowd, team. You know? It, even though, I mean, there weren't as many empty seats as I thought there would be.
I agree.
But you could tell.
I think a lot of people, because I know several people who were from, you know, out of town, and they got tickets for the game.
Oh, yeah, so did I. I sat there right next to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, right. Right, so right. I think we had a lot of people like that. Like,
what,
yeah.
The feeling in, right, at least where we were sitting, and I would imagine the whole dome, was everybody was just, like, there for a relaxed evening of just having a good time. It, you know,
right.
It,
right. You did. And I was never upset. They went, they scored, and we weren't, and they got up. You know,
we're down like 20 points. We're like, yeah,
yeah. What the fuck? It don't matter. Our game's in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Yeah. Now,
another thing, Michael Thomas. He breaks Joe Horn's single season record.
Congratulations. Right.
How funny is it that all of those yards came from Drew Brees, except for those last 12 plus?
24.
Yeah. 24, like right. It's going to be the trivia question 15 years from now. Who threw the record breaking pass? I'm like, well, Drew Brees. Nope.
It was, yeah, that was kind of
Terry
funny.
Bridgewater.
And then Peyton also said after the game, oh, you know, individual records don't matter, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit, because you kept him in there until the fourth quarter, okay? All right? You kept him in there until the fourth quarter until he got his fucking record. And I'm not bad-mouthing Peyton for doing that. I mean, I think players appreciate a coach, you know, hey, look, you know, Michael Thomas needs 24 to set this record. Okay, we're gonna make sure he gets it. And this goes back to our, is he mad, or some of the things he says during his press conference aren't always the case, because obviously he could have pulled Michael Thomas anytime he wanted. He's the coach, and he didn't.
Well, the same thing. He's going to act like he's upset. He's going to act like he didn't care about the game. Well,
right. Individual records aren't important. It's about the team.
Right.
But then why did you keep the man in there for four quarters?
So, and the other piece of this puzzle is how big a deal an offensive line is. Because, and we have some questions on Twitter, I'm sure, about Teddy Bridgewater himself and his performance. And I do think that you can't measure what he did. I think all things considered, I'd say he played admirably. It could have been a lot worse. I mean, agree, disagree, I don't know, but
it was tough. I mean, he didn't have a lot of time. It wasn't an ideal situation for him to be playing it. You know, I mean, we took out Ingram after a while, after a short while, first half. But really, right, I mean, the line didn't go.
Well, he didn't even start with, like we said, only one starter on the whole line. So,
well, I think, I want to say there was another starter, maybe Pete started, but then somebody started but got knocked out pretty early. I thought it was Pete. I could be wrong, but I thought Pete actually did start, but he had an injury and left, and then we were left with four backups and Unger.
And let's talk about Unger. Dude, Unger is a fucking throwback, old school motherfucker, doesn't get hurt. He just plays. He just plays.
Well, we needed him. We didn't have anybody else.
Yeah, but he played. He practiced today with the other guys, you know. We won that trade.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you think?
We fucked up. We fucked up one of the draft picks that came with it, but we...
Right.
Considering, because our line was kind of in shambles at the time of the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both, you know, Evans was out. Nub sucked. I mean, our line wasn't what it had been, and that really helped start solidifying it.
Well, we'll do what Jeff just said. You know, the end of line is important.
It is extremely important. All right. Let's move in now to fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you. This morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here.
A lot of fake news.
Yeah. The first thing, I guess, the lead story we'll talk about is the NFL coach firings.
Black Monday?
Yeah. Oh, well, they don't use that term anymore.
Yeah, they do.
I laugh because, this was a tweet I read. Ian Rappaport commented back to somebody that said we don't. And then the dude replied back with a screenshot.
Wait a second. One at a time.
He replied back to Ian Rappaport with a screenshot of like 15 tweets that Ian Rappaport himself used hashtag Black Monday
over
the last several years. Like, oh, you don't use that term anymore? And then Ian Rappaport goes back and deletes all those tweets. You don't delete them now, dude. Somebody screenshot them already.
Oh, that's classic.
That's fun.
What I will say is the all the tweets were from like 2016 and before, so they haven't used it since 2016.
No.
So, but either way, yes, Black Monday. He might not use the term, but everybody. 8 teams in total, if you're going to count
the in-season firing.
Yeah.
8 openings.
Any surprises?
The guy in Arizona.
They only gave him a year.
Yeah, only gave him a year. That's kind of, they knew they were rebuilding.
Yeah, the team had really no talent.
Right. I mean, that's so. Unless there was something behind the scenes that we don't get to see, as fans that they really disliked about him, I don't understand that. Why was he right? You know, the right person for the job a year ago. But not today. I understand they were 3-13. I think Arizona went.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't supposed to be.
But again, right, they weren't supposed to be. They were rebuilding, you know. So that's the only surprise.
I was a little surprised to see the Dolphins guy get fired, Gase.
Yeah. I was going to say that one, but then again, it's kind of like, to me what it says is the Dolphins have a higher, or maybe.
Are you going to say higher standard?
Finally, they might be developing higher standards.
Well, he was there 4 years.
I thought it was just three.
Three? I mean, that's okay. That's
when they made the playoffs, I think, last
Yeah, but you never gave him anything better than Ryan Tannehill.
Well, he didn't draft Tannehill. He was kind of given
Right,
Ryan
he was
Tannehill.
Given Tannehill.
Right, but they didn't do anything about it.
Well, that's the general manager. And that goes back to a lot of this. It's like all these coaches get fired, but the general managers that put these rosters together, they all keep their jobs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, John Elway's terrible in Denver. Now he did sign Peyton Manning, and they got the Super Bowl. But
I'm going to sign Peyton Manning.
We all have to look. I mean, the year they won it, it was the defense, not Peyton Manning.
Right, but I mean, Peyton did rejuvenate him the year or two before, where he
signed right.
But I mean, he drafted Paxton Lynch 2 years ago in the first round. Dude's not even in the NFL anymore. After 2 years in the first round.
Well, look, Denver will never fire John Elway.
The GM doesn't do all that as much as the scouts and scouting team and the player personnel, unless John Elway decided that he's got that role.
It falls on his head. Right, but look, I mean, that would be like in 10 years from
now. I don't
know.
Drew
Brees comes back and the GM.
But let me get to that point, because you say it's not okay. Well, Mickey Loomis, we blamed him for the shitty draft, but we get rid of Ryan Pace, we bring in Jeff Ireland, and all of a sudden everything's great again.
So because Ireland drafted great players,
right?
That falls
it's
on the
right. Team. It's not Ireland.
Basically, you give that credit. Well, then he should also take some of the blame when your team sucks. Oh no, let's just fire them.
But we're not giving Mickey Loomis credit for these great drafts. We're giving it to Ireland. That's my point. Like,
I've never felt, and maybe y'all felt differently, I've never felt that Loomis is the
he's not the
draft guru or the draft guy or anything like that. You know, I've never felt that.
He's an accountant.
Right. That's, you know, I mean, I have always assumed that Sean Payton has a much larger percentage of the decision making when it comes to players.
I would think so.
Right.
Especially now, I mean, he's been around long enough.
Right. And you know, like maybe in other places like Miami or wherever, you know, they don't. I mean, Hugh Jackson has said in Cleveland that he wanted Wentz and Goff, or, you know, and that he was overruled. I don't see that happening
here. No.
Yeah. I don't see anybody overruling Sean Payton when he goes, I want this player.
Well, it's like Bill Parcells. If you want me to cook the meal, then you should let me shop for the groceries.
Right.
Was that Parcells or Belichick?
Right, and we all know that Peyton blows Parcells.
Well, he learned.
Yep, and I think that's why he's a success.
So speaking of, Dan Campbell is also on that tree and has been asked to interview Cincinnati?
He's got several interviews. I think somebody is going to hire him. Yeah, I do.
Now, they can't leave until after the playoff run. You know, so that hurts some coaches, obviously. I mean, you know, the other organizations, I think, are trying to
get a jump.
Right, get a jump on everybody else. Let's get our offseason started. Let's, you know, let's start making a plan for it.
He's stuck with, you know, let's say we go to the Super Bowl. He's stuck with us. In the meantime, he's got to find
assistance. Right, a whole month, right.
Yeah.
And assistance.
Yeah. So what do you think is the best job?
Let's see.
I mean,
between Arizona,
Cleveland.
Yeah, it's crazy to think, but Cleveland has the best job.
No,
that depends with the front. It depends if the front office really is going to be a good front office. But I would say either Cleveland or Green Bay, right?
No, Green Bay, they should chill with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is an ass.
I'd stay away from Tampa because that's a shit show. Maybe Arizona.
I mean, I don't think they started their coach after 1 year.
I mean, but they had success. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl, you know, 2008.
And Larry Fitzgerald's going to play for a million years. Isn't he still playing?
He is still playing, man, but every year they ask it. It's the last we see of Fitzgerald. So, I don't know. I mean, but I think Cleveland, bunch of young talent. Their GM, whose name I don't recall right now.
Dorsey,
right.
Who drafted a lot of the players in Kansas City.
Kansas City, right.
Right.
So,
I guess it'll be interesting to see how it all shows. Right. I think it's hilarious that some people are thinking the Bengals might actually hire Hugh Jackson.
That would be if I was a Bengals fan. That happens.
Oh God!
I'm done.
You switch to Cleveland.
I'm done. Fuck y'all. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Why would anybody think that hiring Hugh Jackson's a good idea?
It's also Cincinnati. They're not known as a well-run franchise.
Right.
Just look. Everybody likes to rip on Marvin Lewis. 16 years, no playoff wins. But look what they won.
0-7.
Wore Marvin Lewis.
Well. Depends on how. I mean, remember in the early to mid 90s, they were a Super Bowl team.
Late 80s.
Late
in the 80s. Early in the
yeah,
90s.
Late 80s.
With yeah, they were the Boomer Esiason.
Right.
Was the last time they were relevant.
1989 Super Bowl?
With 89-90 against San Francisco. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they pushed San Francisco tough back then.
Yeah, I mean, hell, it wasn't for Montana's crazy comeback. They won the game.
But they didn't.
A lot of openings, though. I mean, that's a fourth of the job. Other jobs.
But, you know, in fucking Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at Atlanta, Arthur Blank, I mean, boom, offensive coordinator gone, defensive coordinator gone, special teams coach gone, wife gone. This motherfucker cut everybody.
He don't know, who to blame. He's just blaming everybody.
No, his wife wasn't even safe.
Right.
So.
Now, how do you know she didn't leave him?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, think about it. I mean, it's hard to stay with a guy whose team blew the biggest lead in Super Bowl history.
And it's just got to keep paranoid. Loser.
Right. Just think of the embarrassment anytime he goes to a party. Hey, this is my wife. Oh, so, Arthur. Oh, yeah, your team blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, right? She's got to hear that all the time.
She was tired of going to parties where Gail Benson enters the room.
Yeah. You know, you talk about coaching, and you ask which is the best, and we talked about the Arizona coach, who he's only there 1 year, so I didn't learn the name. But what do you think is the proper or the appropriate time to give a coach?
I mean, I think you at least have to give 3 to 4 years. I mean, I know NFL
4 years is long.
In today's NFL, I would say 2 to 3. I'm with you.
I would say at least 3.
But 3.
At least 3.
I'd say 3. I mean, that would be right. You let the guy. And, I mean, I guess it also depends on what you're doing. You know, like what's your record? You know, are you seeing improvement?
Right. Yeah, it's not 3 years to win a Super Bowl. It's 3 years to know that you're on the right track. Like, are you making the playoffs yet? I mean, if you don't make the playoffs in all 3 years and you don't, there's no playoff appearance, then you're you're done. Unless you're a team like Cincinnati who's content with mediocrity.
Right. Or,
I wouldn't even call Cincinnati mediocrity. I'd say what Lewis did over there was a step above mediocrity, but it wasn't anything above that. I mean, they were always in
0-7 in the playoffs.
Right. Which means they got there, but they just couldn't win there. So
right.
I would rather, and I'm not saying I would want that, but I would rather that than never making the playoffs.
Well, yes.
So, but I think to let him go, how long did you say it was, Jason? 16 years?
15? Yeah, he was the second longest tenured coach behind Belichick.
Yeah, so that's a little long to let that go. I mean, you think about when Sean Payton was on his like second or third 7-9 season, we were all starting to get a little, you know what, you done worn out your Super Bowl. You better do something about this, or he was going to be on the hot seat.
Jeff Ireland, come on down.
Right.
So, and going with what Jason just mentioned, Sean Payton is now the in sole place of second longest tenured coach in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because him and McCarthy were hired the same year.
Right. So,
I guess having the most valuable player at quarterback didn't really help McCarthy now, did it?
The GOAT, most valuable player, the greatest player of all time.
Aaron Rodgers, right. Ooh.
Discount double check.
Mm-hmm. He's an asshole.
How'd that work out?
He's definitely an asshole.
A couple weeks ago on one of the shows I watch, you know, on Fox Sports 1, they were putting together, I don't know if I told you all this, stop me if I have, but they were putting together a montage of Rodgers, and Coward said, you know, you'll never see a player do this for Aaron Rodgers. And they played Zach Streif's retirement speech where he just, you know, he gets emotional. He's slobbering all over Breeze, you know, saying it's the greatest guy I ever worked with and, you know, no one pushed and worked so hard. And so being the GOAT, which I don't think Rodgers is, like y'all said, it didn't really help much.
Wow, good for Kyle Hurd.
Yeah.
All right. What else y'all got around the NFL there in fake news? You see, you got a lot of things. To me, it's
I got nothing.
Really go with the coach firings.
You know, talking about the game, and I know Jeff, you like conspiracy theories, and you were just saying, you know, Peyton was fooling. Do you think that Peyton just wanted Ron Rivera around a little bit longer in Charlotte? you go, look, guys, if we beat their ass, he's gone.
Right. Let him have this one.
Right. You know, we're done. Sit everybody.
Well, maybe so. Maybe that is a conspiracy theory for you.
That's
the other thing I will say is my kids texted me about, and they said, the only reason the Panthers won was because Cam Newton didn't play.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
My kids are good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
My kids are getting good with the shit talk.
It was scarier than Cam.
And then the other thing about Tampa Bay, didn't they tell, or they said, like, the next coach is going to have to deal with the fact that we're not getting rid of Jameis Winston. Like, that's our guy. Like, could you imagine being an incoming coach and they're like, this is your guy?
Well, he's only on his fifth year option. He's not on his long term.
Right.
They didn't
extend him or anything.
Right. Right. He's only on a fifth year option. So he's only under contract for one more year.
You know. Right. So they still could move on eventually, but I guess maybe they just treat next year as rebuilding and they'll go.
They know that next year is technically Drew Brees' last year's cause. So they know that we got the Super Bowl. They're like, there's no point in even doing anything. Let's just
We'll be defending Super Bowl champs.
You finish know, out right. Jameis, and then we'll deal with the competition in 2021.
So there was, I guess, NFL related, the whole Antonio Brown situation.
Yes.
Which has been kind of crazy.
That was in.
Like, that's crazy for an organization like Pittsburgh, which I guess up until this year has normally been pretty steady. But they had to deal with the Le'Veon Bell shit all year. Then initially, so they said Brown didn't play week 17 because it was injured. Now it comes out they just didn't play him because he got pissed off at Roethlisberger.
Well, it threw something at Roethlisberger and then missed practice.
So what are what's the root of the issue in the locker room over there? Because all this stuff with you saw also about the players raided Le'Veon Bell's locker and took his shit and
earlier on.
Like all season. Is the root Le'Veon Bell and that whole thing?
No, because he wasn't even there.
He wasn't there, and like some guys were like on his side, and some guys were on the Steelers organization side, team side, and like it was the start of it, and it just grew from there.
Look, in my opinion, you don't pay wide receivers because AB got paid last year. And ever since then, he's been a diva asshole. And look, we've talked about it, passingly dozens of times on the show. Receivers and cornerbacks are different. Those are people they tend to have more of a personality on the field than, linemen. You don't hear about linemen. And even, good quarterbacks, in my opinion, don't have a personality. They're quiet. So they paid him a year ago. Now he got the money, and he's ready to let his assholeness fly.
He has been, and they're talking about, do you trade him?
Well, they can't.
Because he's got this huge trade kicker. The Steelers would take this massive cap hit if they do.
Right. $21 million. Now, Loomis would trade him in a second. I mean, and the dead money. Full speed ahead.
I got a whole column on a spreadsheet for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think you would have teams that have the cap space to absorb it with the cap going up again, but Pittsburgh can't with the hit they're going to take.
Well, right. No, they can't take the hit. If not, no. It'd be a wonderful trade for some team to get him. Because you don't have the same like it worked out for Jimmy Graham going to Seattle. Because we took his prorated bonus. And Seattle just had to deal with his annual salary, which is always, not a bad number to deal with. So people would take fucking Antonio. But his attitude of what just happened, would that stop some team from taking him?
Yes, it would. Me, I wouldn't.
Maybe
want
maybe,
him.
Maybe
now
a
that,
few,
now
but
that I know, like
yeah, I don't know. I think for the most part, teams would take a chance on.
Oakland would, and a lot of teams would.
No, I think there's a lot more teams that would take Antonio Brown.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think a lot. Bill Belichick would for in a heartbeat. And you know what? Bill Belichick would find a way to fucking put him straight.
Like, I don't think there's many teams that wouldn't take.
That would or would not?
I don't think there's many that wouldn't. Right. I think pretty much every team would take.
Right.
You can't ignore the fact that if he's acting like this, and you also know that there's a big issue in that locker room, that this is his response to that particular locker room situation. He got paid. That's another element of it. But the reality is he's never really shown this type of behavior until the year that there's been the issue in the locker room as well. So it's one or the other or a combination of both. But at the end of the day, if he goes to another team and it's a good, happy, winning team, winning cures everything, you're not going to have the issue with his personality.
But again, you'll get Antonio Brown. Okay, I mean, his salary this year, his cap number for 19 is $22 million. Like I said, if they cut him, another team would only be $12 million because $7 million of that is a prorated bonus. And like we said, Pittsburgh would eat fucking $21 million. Now you can do it after June 1st. You know how that works. And you split it up after 2 years. I think it'd be 14 and 7 or 7 and 14.
And they might have that built into their deal. If they don't have Bell and they're going to be rebuilding a little bit.
Right. But if another team would take him.
The playoff. If they lose him, they're missing the playoffs again next year.
But another team to take him, his cap hit would be 15 next year. Then 11-3 and 2-5. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. You're right. Juju.
The Steelers always seem to be able to find receivers. They're not going to have a problem finding.
They're
receivers.
They're like the Saints and running. Backs.
Think about it. I mean, they had Santonio Holmes. They traded him. They found Antonio Brown. They found Juju Smith-Schuster. They always find receivers. Right.
Well, that's just like Sean Payton and running backs. If you think.
And remember, Antonio Brown is an undrafted free agent, or a seventh round pick or sixth round pick. He's a late pick. I think he's a sixth. Pick, yeah.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Tim Tebow said this week that Coach Sean Payton had approached him years ago to fill a Taysom Hill-type role.
Mm-hmm. And I love that somebody's reply to him was, but you didn't do it.
Right, he didn't do it, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of interesting on two legs that it's one that, you know, this has been into Peyton's mind for, you know, more than 2 years. And do you think Tebow was a bad decision to pack it, pass it up?
I think it was a bad decision on Tebow's part to pass up an opportunity to play in the NFL.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, because he's just been playing minor league baseball.
Right.
Right.
And now he's, you know, a commentator on the SEC network. Who knows what would have happened there? Like, what if Tebow would have been as good and successful as Taysom Hill is this year? I don't know. You know, we'll never know.
Right. Well, but you know, the media would have, he was an athletic quarterback. I think the media would have blown him even more because he had more of a name than Hill does, you know.
Well, they'd have hated the fact that he was in New Orleans doing it. They would have rather him be anywhere but that.
Man. But, anyway, I just thought that was an interesting revelation.
Interesting, yeah. From the standpoint of, like, if to know that Sean Payton's been thinking about this for a long time.
Right,
cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Revolutionizing the game.
No doubt.
All right, let's get to looking at tweets. And grams. And books. Our first tweet comes from Big Easy Mafia UK over from the UK Saints podcast, and he says, "What was with all the Terry Bridgewater hate during the game? People saying, oh, he's not the one to take over from Breeze. The guy didn't have protection like Breeze has. I thought he played well, as did Washington." And that's another one. We didn't talk about Leon Washington.
Yeah, nice little 100-yard game there.
Going back to, you know what, Sean Payton's Saints have always seemed to find running backs. So, about the Bridgewater comment, I didn't catch that there were people saying negative things. Oh, he's not the guy based on this performance.
I'm assuming that was a Twitter thing that...
Yeah, and look...
Live during the game.
We don't have the smartest fans. I mean, yeah, he played so-so, but it's not like he was in the best... position to win. We didn't really game plan a ton. You're not going to show anything you're not supposed to. Right. You know?
Right. They were playing backyard football back there.
I mean, I didn't have any issues. He still threw a touchdown. I mean,
he had a great run as well. Like, he showed he can be mobile.
Yeah, he did have a scramble. Now, look, he had a bad interception, but, you know, whatever. I thought he played okay.
All right.
But, you know, you can't really judge... You know, it's like, oh, is he or is he not the future based on this one game?
Of all games, this one should be the last one you're going to judge it on because of everything around it.
Right. This was the fourth preseason game.
Yeah.
Brittany Violet comes in and says, "Happy New Year, gentlemen." Remember her from last year or last week?
Oh, yeah, it's a lady. Yeah.
That's right. How do you feel about some of our offense not playing? No doubt it was smart to sit them to avoid injury, but now that means they won't have played in 2 weeks. Necessary for re-energizing or a little too much rest?
Well, with the injury that we had, it was definitely better to rest them. Get them fresh for the playoffs. Get them healthier. Look. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And again, I'm going to say 3 weeks because the real pounding comes during the games, not during practice, obviously. So having 3 weeks of not being, you know, almost 21 days of not being hit.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the offense, I mean, you know, this is at least their second year together. I think they'll be fine. Now, I mentioned to you during the game, I was hoping to see, you know, Smith and Kirkwood get more targets during the game just to get action. I mean, they got a few here and there. Not quite as much as I'd have liked, but I just wanted to see them get more action, try to help them out.
Yeah. 2 weeks rest is better than 28 weeks rest, which would be
good point.
The offseason. that's just the way it's done. And no, it goes back to what you... In 09, when we had the bye week and the home field advantage and we rested players, that 2 weeks proved to be one of the best decisions. You don't lose.
Absolutely.
You don't lose at this point. Maybe 2 weeks before the season starts, it takes a while to get back into the rhythm of things. But you've been playing now for 16 weeks. So, all right. Next tweet comes from Matthew Laverne, and it says, "What was your favorite play from this entire season?"
Oh shit!
Right? I don't remember them. I don't remember the plays from this week. No. Now, to jog your memory, and I think I'm just going to go with this one, he says, mine was Drew Brees' spin move into a touchdown versus Atlanta.
For Atlanta, right? Remember
yeah,
that?
I do think that might be the play of the year.
That's hard to argue, because at that point, like, Atlanta still had hope.
I mean, obviously this was a historic play, but Drew Brees' 46-yard pass to Smith to break the record against Washington, that was pretty tight.
That was a good one. Yep.
Taysom block against Tampa turned that game around. I mean, God, I'd probably have to go with the Breeze spin.
Okay. Jason, original idea again.
One of the many Breeze leaps, Florida leaps over the top. I mean, does it seem like this year they did that a lot more often than they did any other year? And it worked every single time. Every time.
You would think someone would figure it out.
Yeah. I hope they don't. All right, next tweet comes from Craig Wright, and it says, all right, who's the better defense? The Saints in week 17, so against the Panthers.
The other team, whatever choice. B.
The regular defense every week in 2014 to 16.
Oh, my God. Our defense in week 17.
Yeah.
Jeez.
At least we didn't put up 40.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, Big Easy Guy John, a good old friend there, says, which team scares you the most on the AFC side? I know you guys probably covered possible NFC divisional conference matchups to death, so let's go ahead and get ahead of ourselves just for fun. Who scares you the most on the AFC side?
Look, for me, I'd have to say Kansas City, because it's our secondary that's the weakest, I believe. You know, front seven, I think, is very strong. And Mahomes is very good at getting out of the pocket, making plays, which is what I feel Big Ben did to us, you know, and we've talked about last week. You know, now their defense sucks, and I think we can score with them, but that's one of those fucking games I hate, that when you, after you make one mistake on offense, you know, you're behind the eight ball. You're playing catch up.
I think the fact that their defense sucks lessens it a little bit. I would say the Chargers, because I think they're the most complete team. They can throw, they can run, and I know we stopped the run well. But since Joey Bosa is back, I mean, their defense is very solid. They kind of do a little of everything.
And then look, I mean, then you got the Patriots, who they're the fucking Patriots. You know, don't count them out. They've been here.
What helps them is getting that fucking bye, and they're always good at
it. We text about it, but if the Miami Miracle, a fluke play, doesn't happen, they're the number one seed. They're the number one seed if the Miami Miracle doesn't happen.
It sure is nice to play the AFC East every year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but... Yeah.
It's crazy because they look so beatable. They don't look that good. Like, this may be one of the worst Patriots teams in the last 10 years, and yet here they are with DC.
Right. Well, but they're all Super Bowl contenders.
I would love if the Saints make the Super Bowl and that's who was there, because I think that it'd be easier to beat them, all their history aside, than some of these other teams.
You look at the game at maybe Kansas City, a young team, maybe they don't fare so well. I don't believe Kansas City is going to get there.
No, look, and I was telling somebody tonight, Kansas City has a history of getting a home field playoff game and completely shit in the bed. I mean, Baltimore, the Ravens, I know Jackson doesn't really scare you a lot, but their defense is still fucking legit.
Right.
I mean, hell, going back to the Saints play of the year, Justin Tucker's missed kick was one of the plays of the year. And his eyeball stare reaction after.
What?
There you go.
Huh?
All right, so that's a good one. There, you finally got one.
Yeah, see?
Okay. Lil Toppy. comes in and says, what should the Saints do with Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, and Mark Ingram when the season's over?
Well, I don't think Hill's beyond this year, right? I don't think he's a free agent.
I feel like this is one of those games where, what is it, like marry, fucking kill or something? What is it? It's like, sign him, trade him.
Kill him.
You know, I
sign him,
resign
sign
Ingram.
It should be. Sign them all.
I definitely want to re-sign Ingram. I'd like to resign Bridgewater, but if some team throws $10 million at him, we can't.
Right, right. Bridgewater's going to be what someone's willing to pay him. Ingram is a necessity to get back if you want to continue this success. And I don't think he's going to break the bank. He's a 30-year-old running back in the league. I don't see anybody giving him a, you know, four-year, $45 million contract. Maybe I'm wrong, but we all know, we've heard, you know, they don't like 30-year running backs. Mm-hmm. So I think his contract is definitely doable. And who was the other one?
Hill. I didn't realize Hill was a.
I did not think he was a.
I don't think he's a free agent.
No, but anyway, he'll be cheap. He's a, no disrespect, but he's a gimmick player, and no one's going to use him like we do. So I don't see, you know, I don't see anybody wanting him to be their starting running back. I mean, quarterback. You know, so I don't think that'll be.
If he got offered the opportunity to be a starting quarterback, do you think he needs that for that, or he says, no, I want to stay with Sean Payton?
That's what he wants to do. No, he wants to be a quarterback.
No, he wants to be a quarterback, but I don't, you know, we've seen his passes. You know.
Right. Right. All right. All right. And then we got some looking in books. This one from Ben Shirley. It says, it feels great to be back in a divisional round game. How inspiring would a crucial Marcus Williams interception be? Hashtag redemption.
I'd love it, but any interception would be nice.
Seems like we're not an intercepting kind of a defense.
Yeah, we just force fumbles.
Right.
But hey, if he wants to force the fumble, go for it.
That's right. All right, that's all of our tweets, great looks. Let's get into pick'ems.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control.
All right. Pickups is getting interesting. Pickups is getting very, very interesting now. Jeff, do you remember that insurmountable lead you had just a few short weeks ago?
Was it surmounted?
Not quite.
Not, you, not yet.
It's very close.
All right. So it's still insurmountable.
You are still in first at 51-32. You went 3-2 last week. Damon also went 3-2 last week, and he is sitting 49-34, just two games back at Jeff. And lo and behold, just one game behind that at 48-35 is me, who went 5-0. So over the last 3 weeks, I am 14-1.
That's pretty impressive.
So I didn't mean in the loser section, so I quickly got out of that. Man, it's too bad I have.
You're not in third place?
I am in third place.
Oh, okay.
I'm coming.
Oh, you just breathing heavy.
Right. Yeah, I've been coming for a while. I've been lurking.
Okay.
How long have you been coming?
But as of now, what place are you in?
All right, as of now, as of the end of the regular
season. Right now. Speaking as we speak. Third place.
Like a game behind us. Okay.
You know what? You should be a Falcon fan. With that optimism.
All right, and the larger league, Who Dat Fits, is still leading the pack, followed by Me So Mad, Ryan Angier, Life of Ty, Saints Fan UK. I dropped to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th place now. And then Wheels, Christian Mino, Damon, Big Easy Guy, John, Drew, Jason, Jake. So you done passed up, Jacob. Chris McGuire, Tom Ensign, Fuck the Falcons, Ash, Saints Europe, DJ Z, Preston Allen, Bull Smith, Sans Hobbs, Giovanni Turner, Neil, Davis Douglas, Gerald Booty, and Mordecai. Everyone is still above 500.
Wow.
Have all our sub-500 people dropped out?
Mm-hmm. Or right of the ship.
Yeah, everybody's over. Like the lowest, Mordecai and Gerald Booty both have a 506 winning percentage.
Okay, look at that. All right, now we get into the nitty-gritty. Now we get into the fun. Wild card weekend.
I wonder what games he's going to pick.
Gee, I don't know. I wonder if I can find your sheet again. Although, the, you know, there is, that first afternoon game is always usually the worst. And this year we've got a team that seems to play in that game every single wild card weekend. We begin with the AFC South rematch. You've got the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Feels like the Texans always play in this game, whether it's against Cincinnati,
Kansas
some other
City.
Right. These teams split the regular season series, each winning on their home field. I think total for the year, they scored the same amount of points against each other. Indy, like Jeff said earlier, is really hot. They won 9 out of 10. Nobody seems to believe in this Houston team, even though they did win.
All right, anyway, what's the spread?
Jesus Christ.
Y'all took so long. Jesus Christ, you go fucking on. You go on and on and on and on about the fucking game. I understand. You do it every week. You know, you have the playoff. You do it every week. Fuck. Yes, come on.
I enjoy the build-up.
He's so bad. He's
ready. No, nobody doesn't enjoy the build-up. Trust me. Just get fucking on with it. Just get fucking on with it.
No.
No.
Yeah, get fucking on with
Carry
it.
On.
What's the spread?
I'm going to go even longer.
What's the spread?
What else
what's the spread? What's the spread?
Dave
what's
O'Brien
the spread to Colts? What's the spread to the Colts game?
Houston's favored by a point
game.
And a half.
Thank you.
What is it now? I didn't hear it because Damon.
I don't know. I can't. Damon's yelling. I have no idea. You got to figure it out for yourself.
Point and a half, yeah.
Houston favored by 1.5.
Houston.
I'll go first. I'll take the Colts.
How much does being at home help Houston?
I mean, it'll help
much
a little bit. I know Indy's hot, but it does
how
seem
much
like...
How much does outdoors help Indy, you know? They're a dome team like us. I've heard that come up again this week. Dome teams.
Yeah, but Houston's not really outdoor. I mean, they have a retractable roof.
Right.
But I don't know. It feels like everybody's just on Indy. And I mean, look, I know Bucks had a good but everybody's on fucking Indy. And nobody's given Houston a chance. And all they did was go out in the division. So I'm going to give them the Texans.
So, Jason, you're taking Houston. Damon, you're taking Indy.
That's right.
All right.
You can't protect yourself, Jeff. You're going to... You have to make a decision.
Damn you. I'm going to go with the Colts on this one.
You're getting a point and a half. That's not bad.
Yeah. They got 4 in a row. They're on the hot streak. Yeah.
All right. Our next game, Saturday night game. Seattle Seahawks travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys. Seattle's the 5 seed. Dallas is the 4 seed. Dallas is favored by only 1.5 at home. You know, Seattle's really turned into a running team this year after losing so much of the Legion of Boom guys. Although Doug Baldwin has come on, I think he's got 5 touchdowns in the last 6 weeks. Meanwhile, Dallas, Amari Cooper kind of exploded after the trade. He's been quiet the last 3 weeks. So can they get back him to the flow? Of course, they still got Zeke. It's going to be a really, really interesting game.
I will go first on this one. I am going to take Dallas because they are home. And as a Saints fan, we saw what Dallas does whenever they host and a game that they care about.
I am going to go with the Seahawks. I'm going with a better quarterback-coach combination.
Okay, and I will also take the Sea Chickens.
Wow.
Look at that.
How much of this is you guys picking based on who you want to play against Asa?
No, I want to play against Dallas, personally.
Yeah, I would prefer to play against Dallas over Seattle. I just think Seattle.
How much of this is me picking who I want the Saints to play?
All right, now we're moving on to Sunday of the early games. A rematch from a game only a few short weeks ago. The L.A. Chargers won 12 games and yet are stuck being a 5 seed.
Wow.
Travel to Baltimore to play the Ravens, who managed to hold off the Browns in Week 17 to clinch that division. Really transformed their team. They went from the I think, one of the most passingest offenses under Flacco to now the highest rushing offense.
Well, their fucking quarterback takes 20 snaps a game running.
And rushes, right. You know, Baltimore's defense is real legit. They really shut down the Chargers a couple weeks ago in L.A. But this game is in Baltimore. Ravens favored by 2.5.
Ooh.
I guess I'll go first on this one. Give me... Or wait, did I go? Jeff, did you go first last one?
Yeah. I think Jeff went first last time. He took the Chargers. Right.
Give me the Chargers.
Wow. I'm going to take the Ravens. I like the Chargers. I'm pulling for the Chargers, but I think that stadium coming across country, I'm going to give it to the Ravens. I mean, you saw how even when we were doing pretty well, you know, that was the beginning of our fucking hot streak, only won by a point because of an uncharacteristic Justin Tucker miss. So give me the Ravens.
Oh, man. The fact that Baltimore, you said, shut the Chargers down.
They shut them down.
Makes me want to take Baltimore.
In L.A., but they don't have much home field advantage.
All these questions and more.
Now, the Chargers do have Melvin Gordon healthy this week. They didn't have him a couple weeks ago.
All right, that's enough for me. I'm taking the Chargers.
All right, and now our next game, the late afternoon game.
You almost
Sunday.
Said shitty game, didn't you?
the Philadelphia Eagles suddenly on fire with Nick Foles. You can do no wrong in the playoffs. It's wild. They travel to Chicago to play the Bears, who comfortably beat the Vikings and kept them out of the playoffs last week. I believe they're getting back a couple of contributors on defense back after they missed last week. This game's in Chicago. This is the biggest spread of the week. It's favored by 6.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
They like that defense, don't they?
You know, like, do you believe this Philly is still...
Wow, that 6 is... Well, 6 makes you think, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm taking Chicago. They're 7-1 at home this year. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and the Eagles are 4-4 away.
But not with Nick Foles. Not with Big Dick Nick.
I'll go with the Bears as well.
Wow.
Wow, I can't believe giving up 6.
Right, to Mitch Trubisky.
Well, but look, it's in Chicago. Like, if that defense kind of gets on an early roll, I mean, it could really steamroll fast.
Right, how the defense could score a touchdown. Yeah, I'm not taking the Eagles.
You don't believe in Nick Foles?
No.
No, I will take the Bears.
You know, I would rather have to go against Dak and Jason Garrett than have to go against Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll.
Well, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll have proven to have Sean Payton and Drew Brees' number.
Well, those games...
Up there.
Right. It would be different.
I remember we had that home game in the regular season a year or two after, and they ate our lunch in the Dome, too, that year. Remember?
No, we beat them.
They embarrassed us, huh?
No, we beat them.
We beat them in the Dome?
Yes. I can remember the whole thing. We were pissed off because the last time we saw them was in the playoffs twice, and they beat us, and once up there in the regular season. And no, then they came to the Dome, and we won.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
No. Look, I still think we beat him. I just think I would rather go against Dak and Jason Garrett.
Right. In the confines of the Superdome.
Right.
All right.
You're not keeping us to 10 points again.
All right. Okay, well, there's no game preview, so let's move right into final thoughts.
Final thoughts. So I continued my Marvel rewatch. Captain America, the First Avenger, taken aback chronologically. Just a really good performance. Kind of amazing how they do the make Evans look small and big. Overall, I really, really enjoyed the movie. Kind of a period piece. And Cap's become my favorite hero in the MCU. So it was really nice to see it all start. And then even Bucky Bree, Winter Soldier. And then you get Howard Stark, Tony's dad. So. Just a really cool, fun period piece, and one of the better villains. I thought Red Skull was one of the better villains, because you know Marvel really has.
Did you always think that, or are you? Is it kind of like a newly formed opinion based on the fact that you've seen it all now, and now you're going back and rewatching?
What do you mean?
The Red Skull as one of the better.
Did you think that the first time you watched the movie?
I thought he was okay. I thought, you know, I know it's an iconic character. It's a good acting.
Okay, he was okay.
Now, obviously, watching the movie since, he kind of stands up a little more because a lot of their villains
Right. Okay.
And one last thing before I move on. So, Game of Thrones approaching. Renee didn't watch it from the beginning like me, so she wanted to be in the beginning. So I watched the pilot of the very first episode of Game of
Thrones. Oof.
How was it?
It helped me know the characters. I don't have to learn anything. But I haven't watched any of Game of Thrones. I think I've only watched every episode of Christmas.
Were you like, just hurry up and get to the dragons?
Right? It's like, oh wow.
If you pay attention, though, I mean, you might, you know, at least right, learn, there's remember stuff you missed or pick up again.
You've read enough, you've exhausted it enough that I feel like that's one of those shows where it would kill me to have to go back and watch everything, knowing what you know now.
Right,
it's like, oh my God.
I agree.
All these people are dead.
That was one thing. You kind of look in the credits.
Right.
More, but a lot of characters did show up in this very first episode.
All right. Okay.
A lot of characters in episode, right?
No Scoots.
Okay. Damon, final thoughts.
I'll use a couple like Jason. Even though we lost to the Panthers and the Falcons won this week, their fans were crying because of their tumbling in the draft order. You know, so thank the Falcons. 3 weeks ago, they were in pole position to get a top five draft. But they Falconed it, you know.
Classic Falcons.
Right, you know, so that's wonderful. And then just a little, again, for maybe you conspiracy theorist or whatever, trying to compare the last weeks of 2018 to 2009, both seasons, the Saints did not play their best ball at the end of the year, you know, the last five games. If you knew this, Drew Brees, in his entire career, has only had two games where he has two rushing touchdowns. One of them was in 2009 in Miami, where the Super Bowl will be played. The second one was in Atlanta this year, where the Super Bowl will be played.
I saw somebody mention that.
Right. And Drew Brees, as great of a player as he's been, he's only led the league in quarterback ratings twice. 2009, 2008.
Team.
Mm-hmm. And then we all know, obviously, that this has been made up, you know. We lost to Tampa Bay, Dallas and Carolina that year in the same order, which is fucking weird.
No, we lost to Dallas first.
We lost to Tampa first this year. That's right. I try to forget that game.
There we go.
Well, speaking of your little fans there, there was one guy who Sunday night, I couldn't let it go. We drank enough. And he, a Falcons fan, made a comment that they're not worried because they have the best quarterback in the NFC South. Next year, blah, blah, blah. So all I did was reply to this Falcons fan to say, any team, I wasn't even going after them specifically targeting them. I just said, any team in the same division as Drew Brees can't make that claim that you have the best quarterback in your division. That's it. That's all. So, you know, everything else, fine. But, like, that's, come on, guy. Speak the truth. Well, the Falcons got involved in it. It was a big back and forth. And the guy went back in to say, well, Drew Brees isn't even the best because so-and-so has more rings than him. Tom Brady or somebody or Aaron, I don't know. He just referenced another quarterback who happened to have more Super Bowl rings. And so fucking Falcons were like, oh, so the measure of being the best is in how many rings you have. Your quarterback
has none.
Zero. So, again, you've just... And now eliminated your own claim. Yeah, I mean, the guy was, and he couldn't go there. And then he's like, "Well, I'll have to make I'd make a diagram or something for you. Otherwise, I'll just, but I won't because I'll just break my pencil or whatever." So I finished where I just told him, like, "I will literally, personally buy you and mail you as many pencils as you need to draw a diagram to prove that point." You know, and he never left it. But I mean, just the delusion that these people in Atlanta and Tampa, for that matter, have, and Carolina, that they to this day still have zero respect or an acknowledgement for, if not the Saints, Drew Brees, right? I mean, like, if Drew Brees played for Atlanta, I would hate him and them, but I would at least acknowledge the fact – I'd hate him because I knew they were better. I'd hate him because I knew he was the best. I hate the fact – you know what I mean? If Peyton Manning played for Atlanta, I'd be like, son of a bitch, Peyton Manning's the best, and he plays for the team I hate the most.
Right. They're not a bright fan base. I mean, that's been proven many a time, you know.
Or a bright organization. All right, you got any other final thoughts, or are you done?
Nope, that's it.
All right. So my final thought is on Netflix, the new Choose Your Own Adventure Black Mirror Bandersnatch, I think it's called. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it.
If you have ever watched Black Mirror, you at least know what to expect as far as just plot line, storyline, or anything like that. And you don't have to have watched Black Mirror in order to watch this movie either. Black Mirror is a show that's an anthology where every episode is separate from the other one. Kind of like a American Horror Story, right? But this is different and unique in the first movie of its kind ever in the history of the world. In that, you remember the Choose Your Own Adventure novels?
Yeah.
Where it was like, if you want to enter the cave, turn to page 262. If you want to climb up further up the mountain, go to page 222 or something. It's that in a movie. So every so often in the movie, you reach a point where you have to make the decision for the main character. You know, what kind of cereal is he going to have for breakfast? You know, that's the first and easiest, just to teach you how to use the interface and how to participate in the movie. But, you know, it's like, do you want Sugar Puffs or Frosty Flakes or something like that? And you make your choice, and then the movie continues, and he makes the, you know, he eats the cereal that you told him to eat. And then the next decision, and the next decision, and the next decision, it carries you down this path. It's the identical concept of a Choose Your Own Adventure book, except this time it's a movie. And it's a unique and original and first time ever of a kind. And I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. I want to go back and do it again, just like if you were to have read one of those books. You got that ending. Now I want to go read it again, make some different choices, and see what other ways does it end if I make these choices. And I do hope that this is the kind of thing that this is that thing that we are going to look back on years from now when those kind of movies are produced either by Netflix or Amazon Prime or whoever on the reg, because I enjoyed tremendously just being able to make decisions to direct the course of the show.
That seems very interesting.
It is. And at the end of the day, for what it's worth, I do think, though, there's going to be some backlash on it because, you know, everybody's opinionated, that there's going to be a lot of people who don't like it. And I get why they wouldn't like it, because their brains are too small to comprehend the concept of not just the concept of choosing your own adventure and not liking the, you know, they make poor choices for the character and the movie doesn't go the way they want it to go. Well, you're the one who made the stupid fucking decision, all right? On the other hand, that it's a sci-fi, a dark sci-fi movie, some really, really deep concepts. So it's also going to be one of those things where I think your common moviegoer is going to get excited about a choose-your-own-adventure movie, but they're not going to like the plot. They're not going to like the subject matter, and therefore it's going to turn them off to the concept. Oh, that's
they're not going to. Why won't they like the subject matter?
Because it's really, really, really deep. It's like Aldous Huxley level, or Isaac Asimov, or Philip K. Dick level sci-fi. Okay. Not your Orson Scott Card, which is a little more fun. You know, Orson Scott Card was Ender's Game, for those who don't know. Anyway, my recommendation is to go through it with a very wide open mind, and then go through it again and again. You know, however many times you need to go through it, because the concept of the movie is, it's not each individual decision that directs the course of the movie. It's the buildup of all your decisions built up on top of each other. You know, because it's like A, you chose A or B. A, okay, then did you choose, it's exponential, right? Then did you choose A or B of A, or A or B of B? So it's like your first time through the movie, it's A, B, B, A, 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 B, A, B, B, A, A, B. The next time it's B, 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 A, A, B. Completely different results. It's amazing to think that they were able to – I can't imagine what the storyboards for this movie had to look like.
I saw it on Netflix and put it in my queue. Oh.
Yeah. You need to just participate. It's an hour and 30 minutes. And that's the other thing I think is interesting. I think that you have – when you watch it, like a clock starts, and you have an hour and 30 minutes to get through it. Whether you finish it or not, it's like you're reading the book, right? You know how sometimes you'll turn – you're like, oh, if you want to go into the cave, turn to page 262. You go to 262, and it's like a bear just ate you. You're dead. You know, yeah. I think when you get to that minute and 30 seconds, if you have wherever you were in the movie, it's over. You died. Like they killed me at the end. I was dead. But I don't think I'm supposed to die. I think there's an ending to achieve, but I ran out of time because I kept going back and making different decisions back and forth.
Right. Oh, sounds interesting.
You chose poorly.
All right. Speaking of choices, I'm going to choose to end the show. This is the show we have for you right now, and we're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, or if you'd like to choose to follow us on Instagram, you can turn to page 262. So if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadcom.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, wriggly donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation. Getting ready. We getting ready. Check this out. Talk that stuff now. Roll with it.
Walking like a dog. Walking like a frog. Walking like a oh. Walking like a dog. What the? Walking like a dog. Walking like a oh. Walking like a. Now take your dog for a walk. I walk like a silver, like a bouncer, like a trigger, like a walker, like a silver, like a bouncer, like a deer. Walking like a silver, like a bouncer, like a trigger, like a walker, like a silver. Monkey on a stick, monkey on a stick, a monkey on a stick. Yeah, monkey on a stick, a monkey on a stick. Yeah, monkey on a stick, a monkey on a stick. Yeah, monkey on a stick, and now serve it.
You know why? 50 cents a walk, wham, make your body pop. 50 cents a walk, wham, make your body pop. 50 cents a walk.